The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
A tragic story. You probably just heard Robin mention a police officer in the... Hey, Cal, remember when I said we're going to talk about this coming back so you'll have the details? Mm-hmm. And then right before he came back on, I was like, hey, we're going on, and it's the Bronx, right? And then some of you guys aren't in here. I don't know how that works. And you hear that. Sorry. So it's the Bronx?
Yeah, what was her name? Officer in the Bronx. Her name was 48-year-old Miosotis Familia. Was sitting in a what they call a temporary headquarters.
Is that one of those like little vehicles
that things that set up rise in parking lots?
Yeah,
go
something
up.
Like that.
Yeah, and someone's this guy Alexander Bonds, 34-year-old guy on parole for robbery, just came up and shot her in the head right as she was sitting there. They call it attempted cop assassination. That's what the...
I don't think attempted. There's any... Yeah, well, no, it was successful, but yeah. His motivation had to be that. You're shooting a cop, and it had to be for... That you were targeting a police officer. I mean, that's it. You know, I recognize there are cases where police officers are too rough. I recognize some of the cases where people have been shot by cops, that cops did the wrong things, and occasionally those may even be racist. It's not the epidemic of racism that people would have you believe now. But if we are going to talk about those things, and we should also talk about these things. Mm-hmm. Because the discussion over Philando Castile and these others where the belief that cops are indiscriminately
killing
people or targeting them because they're of their race or gender or ethnicity or their religion or whatever is absolutely wrong. Sure, some cops may be acting wrong, but I don't think there's too many of these cases where cops have shot people where they got up that morning and said, I'm going to go kill me a blank today.
Uh-huh. Well, thankfully, didn't the guy shot her?
Yeah, they confronted him, shot him, died.
Good.
He actually, accident. I don't know if it was an accident, but another bystander got shot in the stomach, but is in stable condition.
I think that was probably an accident, yes.
It wasn't by the cops. It just says bystander wound up being shot in the stomach and is in stable condition at the hospital. Silver revolver was found near the dead suspect.
All right.
We've scoured news agencies from around the world to find the most profound headlines.
All right, you sick, twisted freaks. We're going to lighten things up. It's National Bikini Day.
Oh, it's my favorite day.
Oh, yeah.
As long as... Maybe we schedule that on a weekend.
Right.
I'm just thinking here.
I know.
We schedule that on a Wednesday in the middle of the week?
Can't really enjoy it, can we?
They originally wanted to call...
I don't think anyone else want to see that.
They wanted to call it the Atom.
The Atom?
The ATOM, because it was named after the Bikini Atoll where they conducted the test.
Oh, gotcha.
But they wanted to name it the Atom.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, all this other stuff we're covering, maybe we're burying the lead today.
Yeah.
Okay.
See? You remember to use National Bikini Day as you get pictures of Jeffy in one.
Well, then we're back to normal. Here we go.
Yep.
There we go.
All right, in a developing story, Billy McFarland was arrested on wire fraud charges on Friday. Oh, who? Yeah, he's the guy behind the Fire Festival.
Oh, the Fire Festival guy.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Took this long, huh?
Karma swung around pretty quickly on this one, I'm happy to say.
But is he still rich?
Apparently, he doesn't have nearly as much money as he said, because one of the things he did was... To get investors to put money in, he showed them as collateral his $2.5 million investment in Facebook, which was actually a $2,100 investment in Facebook. Then he doctored the stock certificate.
Photoshop.
And then he used communication lines across state lines to wire fraud. And depending on how many people he hit, there could be 100 charges, 400.
Oh, yeah, he's already there's already hundreds of lawsuits against him from people who went to the island and
you know
there.
A year ago I'll bet he envisioned things going a little bit differently.
Yeah,
I got a great idea, guys.
Yeah. And surprisingly, his representatives were not immediately available for comment.
Oh, shocking.
Go figure.
Weird they're not around.
So what do human overpopulation and animal extinction have in common?
$4. Oh, that's a different joke. Yeah, never mind.
Exactly. The Chicago Lincoln Park Zoo says that they have a lot in common, that actually human overpopulation of the earth is causing the extinction of animals. So to promote human underpopulation, the zoo is giving away free condoms this coming weekend.
Okay, what is causing what? We're causing the animals to extinct.
Too many humans are killing animals, basically.
Yeah.
And so they're giving condoms for us to use so we can, there'll be less of us, therefore more animals.
Yep.
That doesn't seem like a that seems like a, like it's not going to actually impact at all that.
It's not. It's, no. But hey, free condoms.
I look at it this way, though. I don't think we drew first blood. I think the animals drew first blood.
I think the saber-toothed tiger probably was the first one to have a snack.
Right. I mean, aside from the animals we eat for meat, I mean, the rest of the animals, they're just out there doing their business.
Flip the shoe. If there was more animals than humans.
Oh, please.
You think we would be.
Oh, they'd eat us like crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, your little Fluffy that's in your house right now, it's so cute, he loves me.
Eat your face off.
Yeah, okay. You go down and nobody finds you there on the floor, and Fluffy's there long enough. Fluffy's going to start eating you. Just so
I
you know
that, you know, when they hear about these stories of people stranded somewhere with their dog who they've had for years and years and years, and the dog ends up eating them
because the dog was hungry.
Exactly.
Right. That's why I said they are going
Man's
to eat them.
Best friend.
Right. It's like the Warner Brothers cartoon where they're out in the ocean and they start looking at each other, and one looks like a hamburger and the other looks like a hot dog.
A big leg of lamb.
Right. That's what it is.
And just to prove our point, a strange mystery in Thailand. Elise Delamain was found in a jungle in Thailand, half eaten by lizards.
Oh, that's nice.
Half eaten?
Half eaten.
Ooh. Elise Delamain?
Yeah, well, this is a weird story. She apparently went to this island, the island of Koh Tao, in April. This is an island where seven other foreigners have died in the last 3 years. They say she hanged herself, but then a picture of her at the hotel where she was checking in said she was trying to fake her identity. So there's something weird going on the island of Koh Tao.
So you don't go traveling in these islands by yourself.
Yeah.
Have you seen enough movies? Hostile.
I mean, whole expeditions get eaten and stuff. Yeah, I don't even think you go there at all. So it's a good point.
Half-eaten
safety
by
tip.
Lizards.
Safety tip. Good deal.
Yeah. Guess what's coming back? It's kind of another mystery.
Crabs?
Leprosy?
Well, yeah. High-waisted pants.
Oh,
well, Doc's trying to bring those back himself.
I was going to say it's good news for some of us.
Wow, that's just, hey, my wardrobe's finally back in fashion.
Yeah, you know,
I told you I didn't have to buy new clothes eventually.
Now, when we say high waisted, is it like the 80s on into the 90s?
Well,
like
they're slowly rising. So I think what the idea here is it covers up the love handles.
Okay, couple fails here. It's certainly on women. Women as a spectator sport, that's going to be bad for us.
I think this is mainly for
men. Okay, high-waisted for the men with your dress pants and that's going to be better because you're right. But I don't want it to go so far back as to like the 1940s where they went right to your chest.
Right to your nipples.
And your tie was only like 4 inches long and still held hung below your belt line by three.
That was, remember, was it Wild Wild West
where
Robert Conrad had his pants. Yeah, he took off his shirt. His pants were way up here.
Yeah.
But he looked good because he didn't have any love handles.
Right.
Because they were covered by his pants.
And it helps hide your girdle, too.
Uh-huh.
I remember the Three Stooges. Why you? Why out of mugs? Well, come on. Yeah.
Yeah. See? I think I'm digging this whole coming back. All right. So this is we're full of strange stories this morning. Gail Newland was found guilty during her retrial of tricking female friends into sex by pretending to be a man.
Okay. We've had multiple stories like this over the years. Do you know the amount of lies and trickery and chicanery you have to go through?
Oh, yes.
Without being too graphic, she at some point uses a phallus.
An attachable device?
Right. A attachable, detachable, prosthetic type device.
Uh-huh.
But there's always these rules about the lights being off and blindfolds.
Yes.
And
technically, she was convicted on three counts of sexual assault by penetration after asking women to wear a blindfold.
Here's the thing. This is, okay. I get that with the lights off, I get that blindfolded, I get that all of those. But what I can't get beyond that she didn't know it was a woman just with the meh, 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 meh. That's the part that before you even get to the light, because meh, 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 with the lights off is still meh, meh, meh.
They don't have the same radar that we do. We can pick, with that frequency.
Oh, it doesn't bother
it's like,
them.
You know, it's like dogs only hear a specific frequency. Okay. Men only hear
they
that frequency. Women can't hear that
by
frequency.
It then. Okay.
Your hands are so soft.
Yeah, there's no red flags there, but the fine. But my friends all blah blah.
I'm just not feeling right today. I don't know. Have you seen them? Does my ass look big in these pants?
Oh, really?
And then there's the woeful tale of Emily
Ratajkowski. Sure.
She says her boobs are too big and they're preventing her from landing jobs.
Steve Jobs? What kind of?
Yeah. She's best known for her, apparently.
I would think that would be a benefit of getting jobs with most women.
Her risque Instagram feed, let's say, that she says that her large chest has been holding her back when it comes to acting jobs.
So she started a stand-up? Is that where she's going? Because that sounds really funny.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight.
Yeah.
In Hollywood, a woman is claiming that her large breasts
you know what she looks like,
are
right?
denying her jobs. Yeah.
This is what she looks like.
She's what most people would call saucy.
Just
attractive.
A little
bit buxom.
She has many of the attributes that are apprised by the average male.
She says the complaint she hears most often is, oh, she's too sexy. It's like an anti-woman thing that people don't want to work with me because my boobs are too big.
Poor thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
First world problems?
Well, yeah, no kidding.
Wow.
All right, let's do our transgender update. Can I get like one?
Oh, there you go. Sorry about
something?
That. I didn't know I was on double duty.
And by the way, we've gotten to the point. That's enough of the bell. We've gotten to the point where there are so many different choices here. Let's go with this one. The newborn baby that will be registered if the parent has their way as gender unknown because only the child can decide what sex it wants to be.
Wow, what a fail.
Hello, Canada.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this is happening in Canada. The parent is identified as a non-binary trans person. Demanding that their baby given the world's first gender unknown birth certificate.
See, the gender's known, though. That's the. I don't know how you can.
She's,
do that.
Her name is Corey Doty. She has a mustache and claims to be neither male nor female. Sorry, that's not funny. I apologize for laughing. That was
no, it's a it's a chick with a mustache. That's
that used to be funny.
Yeah,
no, that used to be a. But that was when we were insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I'm professional.
Okay, here's the thing. What do you think her motivation is for this?
It's political. It has to be. And
right, because no parent would do this to a child. Anybody that is trans and tells me how horrible your life is, which I'm sure it is, why would you subject your child to something like this that they may not have to go through? It's a very small percentage of people that actually have to go through such things.
Or she's just bat crap crazy enough to think, like, I have no right to decide this
there
for
it is.
Her.
There it is. That's
she
it.
She needs to decide it for herself.
Even so, though, you wouldn't
I don't want to put her in a box.
You wouldn't put your kids there. You wouldn't do that. You try to avoid stuff like that for your kids. Yeah, all right, usually. Give me one more.
All right, Pinellas County Sheriff's Office say a man by the name of Tommy Williams was intoxicated and high when he went to a home on San Jose Street about 1:30 on Saturday morning. He rang the doorbell. Then went into the backyard, opened two sheds, and then he decided he was going to poop all over the tools.
His tools?
Wow.
His shed?
No, it wasn't his shed. Apparently it was a neighbor's shed. And he decided then he was going to pick up the feces and throw it back at the officers.
Wow, that's going to be
I'm
bad
sure
for you.
They handled him very gently after that.
I think that's when you get the extra treatment.
Exactly.
You get the extra. Oh, I'm sorry. That wouldn't have happened if my hands weren't slippery from the poo that you threw on me. Something like that. Wow. A great way to improve health and also get great rates, save some money, and get some extra benefits is with Health IQ. Health IQ believes that health-conscious people deserve lower rates, and they've developed a system to do just that. See, normally health insurance life insurance companies would charge you more based on things like your family history, your BMI, all kinds of stuff like that. But they said, hey, how come there isn't a cost savings when you live a healthier lifestyle?
You should, because you get penalized if you're not healthy. You pay more when you're not healthy. Why don't I get a discount when I am healthy and I take care of myself?
It's really
just common sense.
It really should be. But up until now, it has not existed. And when they tried to do it, the insurance company's like, yeah, we can't do that. We don't have any history. We need, because they base data. That's exactly. We need data. We need to make sure that, you know, we could actually do this and it would work out right. So they spent years collecting data and finally launched it. And as of now, they've helped tens of thousands of people secure billions of dollars in insurance, and they're ready to help you. If you need life insurance, learn more. HealthIQ.com/Blaze. Not the Blaze, just Blaze. HealthIQ.com/Blaze. You go there, they'll give you a free quote, give you all the information. And if you want to go through it, they'll ask you the questions. To get the quote, it's really pretty simple. They'll ask you things like how fast can you run a mile, other little things about your lifestyle, how healthy you are. And then they give you a quote. It's pretty simple. Health IQ uses science and data to secure those lower rates for health-conscious people, including runners, vegans, people who have other special diets that make them healthier, vegetarians, strength trainers. All of those things could potentially benefit you. To find out more, healthiq.com/blaze, healthiq.com/blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
So, President spent the last couple of days in battle with the media, both Mika and Joe, and then CNN. And then he's en route today to Eastern Europe. He's going to go to Poland, meet with some of the G20 leaders, I think it is, and get that done. He better just calm the heck down. Or
what do you mean?
Just calm the heck down.
This is Donald Trump we're talking about here.
Yeah, but if he doesn't calm the heck down, North Korea may bomb the ocean again.
Right.
I mean, they may go ahead and drop some bombs on the water.
Thousands of fish.
Maybe.
Well,
unless
you possibly
they leave
the
area.
You know the fish are pissed off by now.
He's
it's like, what?
He's declared war on marine life.
I like that you tweeted out, though, Donald Trump, like half an hour ago, getting ready to leave for Poland, after which I will travel to Germany for the G20. We'll be back on Saturday. Like, it's like a notice. I got to go do this. I'll be back on Saturday, though.
Like a note you leave on the refrigerator?
Yeah, if you need me, America, I'll be back on Saturday.
Don't do anything while I'm gone. I'm going to be checking in. Is that what it is? So what's your take on the CNN thing? I mean, you saw the Mika and Joe stuff, and now the CNN. The thing that really was crazy to most people was the guy who created the GIF of CNN's head on whoever it was, where Trump was giving him the smackdown on WWE.
Where Trump was like on the...
Knock somebody down.
Yeah.
Is that Trump tweeted it out then. So what's your take on that, Kevin?
What's my opinion on their reaction or what the whole thing?
The whole thing. Trump doing it.
I think it's hilarious. The GIF is hilarious. I always forget. GIF,
whatever.
GIF.
Yeah.
Is hilarious. I think it's really funny. I think CNN
inappropriate
is
for the president, or it doesn't matter? It's
I've
a
kinda,
joke.
That question
Are we desensitized?
No longer, yeah,
okay,
that question no longer
exist.
Applies.
Okay.
Everything he does in the beginning, I would think. I don't know if that's, but now it's like, I don't even, whatever. But it's funny. But I thought CNN's reaction is ridiculous. This turned out to be like a 15-year-old kid off Reddit.
Right, but their reaction is very serious. Like, you know, planes have flown into the World Trade Center. Mm-hmm. Right. They're like, he has advocated violence against the media, is what they said.
Right.
Right.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Your take, Brad?
I think that he tweeted last week that is it unpresidential for the president to be tweeting like he's tweeting? He said it's modern day presidential, which I think we're going to have to just suck it up. This is the new reality. You don't mess with you don't challenge the internet is the that's the lesson here.
I'm looking at, you're right. I mean, some of this may be, you know, we're the old people going, Elvis is shaking his pelvis on stage.
Yeah.
Can't have that.
I'm doggone kids.
I don't like it, but
it's here.
We're transitioning for this better or for worse, or maybe that's what everybody's always said.
Yep.
I think the president should be tweeting at all? No, I don't think I think.
Really?
Why? No, I don't.
I think tweeting is an effective form of communication for him.
But I think the office of the president should be, he should tell them, here's what I want you to say, and they do it.
Shouldn't be having those fireside chats, coming on television
on the radio.
He doesn't need
wireless
to be coming out and saying this, that, and the other thing. That's what the
should
whole
all be one-on-one
office of communication is, right?
Occasionally from the back of a train.
Right? Have them be your your voice. You don't need to be tweeting out. That's my opinion. But now, that's after the fact that he does.
Thank you, Cal's grandfather. You know? Thank you for that. Cal's grandfather, we appreciate that. You sound really old.
Around this place.
You
know, you whippersnappers.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Celebrity Chef Patrick talks business and food trends with Doc Thompson and the Always Hungry Morning Blaze crew.
Okay, so over the weekend, I was doing some research on various presidents and whatnot, and Thomas Jefferson's name, of course, came up, saw some stories about him, and then Monticello, and I can't think Monticello and without thinking spoon bread.
You too?
Yes, exactly.
So weird.
Spoon bread. When you go to Monticello, they have a recipe, a Monticello spoon bread. Do you know what spoon bread is? The southern thing?
No, I don't know. What's spoon bread?
It's kind of a like a custard, but made from cornmeal, like a cornmeal base or whatever.
Is it like bread pudding?
Yeah, kind of. But it's, like you said, it's corn base or whatever. It is wonderful.
It's bread you eat with a spoon.
Yeah. Have you ever had it, Chef Patrick? Are you familiar with such things?
I have. Good morning, Doc. How you doing?
Good.
We call it the hillbilly polenta is kind of what we call spoon bread.
Yeah, that's a good way. It's a little butter and a little sugar. But my wife and I love it so much, and it was kind of part of our courtship because we went out and had it and whatever. It's one of those. We had it at our wedding, too. We got married.
Yeah. There are so many variations of cornbread, and spoon bread being one of them. It's baked kind of like a souffle almost.
Mm-hmm.
Some recipes call for the egg whites to be separated from the yolks and whipped and then folded back in so it actually does turn into a souffle. Some are a little more creamy and dense. It's a really kind of great base recipe. You can add cheese into it and incorporate all sorts.
Yeah. So you can make it sweet or savory. I like it just a little bit sweet. I liked it so much when I was not familiar with it until I moved to Virginia. And I would get off the air because I did afternoons, and I'd get off the air sometimes 6 o'clock, and there was a restaurant around the corner from the station. I would just get like three, and by that I mean seven orders of spoon bread, and just go and have that for dinner sometimes.
Yeah, that's did they have a variation? Was it just slightly sweet, or did they have a sauce that went with it?
Theirs was primarily sweet. I think that's kind of the default setting for a lot of them. Or it's like cornbread itself in that it's a little bit sweet, and you start with it like that, but then you can make it a more savory dish or eat it with like a chili or something like that.
Yeah, most of the spoon bread I've had were kind of a sweet corn-based. And occasionally I've had a savory one or two, but it ends up being more like a polenta if you make it too.
But you don't
eat too many ingredients, bacon, or cheese.
You don't eat cornbread with a spoon.
No,
right? I mean, so spoon bread though, you eat like.
Yeah, because it's more custardy. Explain that, Patrick, because it's not just the bread. You're putting, is it eggs that make it kind of like that? Is that?
Yeah. So what you boil the, you scald milk first and foremost. So you bring it just to a simmer. And then you pour that into the polenta or the cornmeal, and you stir it really well. And then once that cools, then you add your other ingredients, the egg yolks, whipped egg whites, a little bit of sugar, so on and so forth. And then you put it into a casserole dish, and you bake it. And then it all kind of comes together in a really creamy goodness.
Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, like a polenta is probably a good way to think about it. Or, like I said, kind of more custardy, whatever. But anyways, that's a Thomas Jefferson thing, too, and definitely Virginia. It's not just South, but it's kind of a Virginia as far as and even the name spoon bread. But a lot of different presidents and that have had menus, and people wrote recipes about stuff. They were distillers and brewers.
Yeah. You know, Thomas Jefferson loved mac and cheese. That's a fun fact I just learned yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He learned about mac and cheese and became kind of infatuated with it on a trip to France. And tried many variations, many cheeses, many different noodles or pastas. George Washington's favorite food was actually cherries, but apparently Martha, made this phenomenal crab soup. It was blue crab cut up into pieces and then simmered in a broth that had chunks of tomatoes, onion, kind of a seafood stock.
It's funny.
Really delicious. That's
why. Yeah, and you don't think of stuff like that when you think Washington. We think colonial, but you got to remember, especially Washington and Jefferson and these cats were along the coast. Mm-hmm. And then if you go up to all the colonies were, so fishing that was going to be, and then even stuff like crab. But it's funny because I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. But Jefferson and probably Adams as well, and some of the others, Franklin, they all spent time in Europe, specifically France. So I'll bet after they got back, they started influencing the cuisine of what was country or Southern.
Absolutely. And I think that's how the presidential, the White House chef, typically became was typically a French national for a long time. There weren't any real complete cuisines. When butter came up from, or the olive oil came up from southern Italy, and the butters of France kind of met. They all met in the northern Italian southern French region, and they had pastas in there, and they also had lots of potatoes from the north, and that's kind of where all these different cuisines melded, and the best chefs of the era, starting in, say, the 1700s, came from and kind of continued until the early 1900s. And then, travel made it easy to kind of make recipes worldwide, and ingredients became more available. But
I know even some of their planting and growing, they had taken stuff from their travels around. If you could only pick one world cuisine for the rest of your life, you got all the good and bad came with it, but you couldn't have any of the good from others. What would you pick if you could only pick one?
Wow.
What do you think, Brad? One? Yeah. I mean, it would be difficult not to pick Italian because it's so good, or France, or French, because those are both solid. But I do love me some, Japanese Mexican. And Korean. Cal's going to pick Mexican.
I love Mexican.
I know if he has to. I knew that's coming.
Mexican, there's like four ingredients in Mexican food. You just
reshape it, rearrange it, different names.
Look, it's a burrito. Now it's a taco.
That's right.
We folded it this way. Chalupa.
It's a chimichalupa. Yeah. So Chunga
half the
burrito.
Stuff is like, it's not even really Mexican.
I know. It's marketing. Yeah. It's guys. Yeah, marketing. What about you, Chef Patrick? Would it be, because I mean, your expertise is Japanese cuisine.
Yeah, and I love Japanese food. I like the simplicity of it, but the complexity of flavors. But I probably would have to say French. France borders now a lot of other countries with a lot of other influences. And when you go to southern France, the food is so much different. It's almost Mediterranean compared to the richer, heartier things of the interior and the great seafood along the coast. I just have to say French. Italian is great. It's probably my favorite single meal to eat is a great pasta. But French cuisine is
Well, I think of French, too. I think of they're pretty good across the board. Savory and sweet, appetizers, entrees. I mean, they use, all different types of food as well. I mean, land animals, sea creatures, greens. They do the whole thing pretty well.
Small woodland creatures, yeah.
Small woodland, exactly. Woodland nymphs, right, exactly. They get it all done there, as opposed to some that kind of focus on other things. But yeah,
what other culture looked at frog legs and said, tasty?
Well, yeah. Exactly. If I had to eat everything that came with the culture, I probably wouldn't do it or whatever.
Tastes like chicken.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have some recipes at your website, specifically based on history and presidents and whatnot?
Well, so I'm going to share a couple of recipes today. One is, kind of historically based, but I'm going to. The one's a surprise.
Okay.
Actually, it's not. Have you ever had sweet tea chicken? Sweet tea fried chicken?
No.
Sweet tea chicken? Right,
I was just going to say fried chicken, but I got to put it out there. Yeah, you basically marinate or brine the chicken in a kind of a really strong version of sweet tea. For 3 to 24 hours, and then you pull it out, and then you do the traditional breading, and then you bake it or fry it. I mean, it's delicious. So it's a real southern treat. You get that slight sweet flavor to the chicken. It really does taste a little like sweet tea with that really savory crunch on the outside.
Well, and tea has almost a nutty flavor too. So even if it doesn't taste exactly like tea flavor, I could see that having some benefits, especially when you get into deep frying and frying and stuff like that. That it would bring out kind of the heartiness or nutty of the chicken flavors.
Yeah, and by brining it like that, it goes deep into the muscle tissue, and the flavor goes all the way through. The salt, there's a little bit of salt in it, so it kind of draws it inside. But I think it just, you know, look, it's the 4th of July week. We want to have something hearty.
Right. It's at FoodBizPro on Twitter, at FoodBizPro, and then FoodBizPro.com, and people can check that out.
Thanks, Doc.
All right, buddy-o. Chef Patrick Mosier, appreciate you joining us. Bye-bye. All right, have a good week.
Now I want to go try this spoon.
Spoon bread. Yeah, spoon bread's awesome, man.
It looks almost kind of like a cheesy mashed potatoes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but with corn base. But that's the savory version too. That's the traditional isn't.
I googled.
Yeah, it starts with more of a
sweetness.
Yeah, like a not really sweet dessert or follow up or something like that. I love it. I mean, do you like cornbread? Would you ever eat cornbread as a dessert where you put some butter on and honey if it's a little bit sweet? Okay, think that. But then think of it done as a custard where you spoon it out so it's, you know, kind of gooey and it's got that custardy base.
Oh no, now you turn me off. I don't know if I
like polenta.
The texture now. It's weird how you like some things in a specific texture.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you give it to them in a different one, and now it's like, oh, I don't like this.
Do you like bread pudding?
I do, but
okay,
I don't.
Okay, so it's like that.
But it's the corn flavor. I don't want that in a corn flavor.
It's like a bread pudding, but with a corn flavor. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't
that's
think I
it.
Like that.
If you like corn bread and you like the texture of bread pudding, that type of thing, you'll love it.
Is it like now a corn casserole?
I got Lyle Lovett in my head now.
What's that?
Well, I got some beans and some good cornbread. Listen, y'all, what the preacher said.
It's really good. I haven't had it in forever, too. So I tried making it at home one time, though, and it's not a difficult recipe. It just didn't work out right or whatever. So, yeah. But, we had our wedding at the Jefferson Hotel in Richmond, Virginia, in the capital of the South or whatever. And so we're going through the menu items, and they're like, we can do this, we can do that, and we're picking this stuff. And we're like, okay. They have a brunch there that is my favorite dining experience on the planet. It's a little more upscale. It's not cheap. I think it used to be $45 a person, but it came with
a foot rub,
a back rub. It came with champagne and the whole thing or whatever, and it's, you know, it's a several-hour experience sort of. And all the food's wonderful. So you just sit and enjoy it. And I love it. But they always have spoon bread, too, because it's one of the things they do in-house. So when the guy's going through, okay, and then we'll pick this. Great. Congratulations on the wedding. We're like, could we get, what would be the charge for? He goes, sure, we could do spoon bread. Of course we can. So he goes to the kitchen, brings us out a whole pan that they had just made. He goes, here, take it home. We're like, wow, great.
You mentioned my favorite part of, like, the wedding. My wedding was nothing but stress and how much I'm spending. When it got to the tasting, that's when I got my money's worth.
That's why I abandoned my wife for 5 minutes on our wedding night. Did I tell you about this?
Oh, you abandoned your wife for five minutes?
5 minutes. I left her. You're on your own. Five. I'll explain coming up on the Morning Blaze.
You are listening to the smooth sounds of the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network!
If you haven't tried Relief Factor yet, you are missing out. If you're somebody who struggles with pain, you know somebody else who struggles with pain and is not finding relief, just been masking it with narcotics or other products, just try Relief Factor. Why not? What do you got to lose? It's only $19.95 for a 3-week quick start pack, and I'm telling you, it works.
I had a bit of a dilemma this weekend.
What was that?
With this Relief Factor.
What do you mean?
I told you my mother-in-law's with us.
It won't help that.
She was complaining of joint pain and stuff. And I was like, do I give her my Relief Factor? I'm not a big fan of the mother-in-law. And I was kind of like, do I give up my Relief Factor?
Oh, so you're saying you could deal with her with the blah, 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 or you could deal with your own pain?
No. Do I relieve her of her pain by giving her my stash or some of my stash?
Oh, okay. You would still have some stash, though.
I don't know if I want to give up my Relief Factor, but I see another human being in pain. It's my mother-in-law.
Not a human being. It's a mother-in-law.
It's especially a big dilemma if you're like, I only have a little bit left.
Well, that's the thing.
And then I'll have to deal with the pain or I'll have to deal with her pain.
I'm running a little bit low, yeah. So I ended up giving her.
That's a good man. You know, you can just get more. Just go to relieffactor.com. Relieffactor.com. Or call 800-500-8384. It's 800-500-8384. It's Relief Factor and it works. Get it today. So we get to the wedding and... my wife and I spent the entire wedding. We looked at it like we were happy people were there. We're not going to sit on stage with a whole, you know, make this about us. It was like, hey, you're here. We just, as soon as we got in there, we just table to table while everybody else is eating. We ate last. I mean, this is just how we...
That's how it works at your wedding. You never actually get to eat what you paid
for. Well,
wait
a minute. Really but see, in traditional, you would go up front and the bridal party eats first is what they say.
Oh, really?
That's usually how it's done.
Wedding. Really?
Yeah, that's... And you sit... You ever see the long tables up there? Now they've done the sweetheart tables where it's just the bride and groom or whatever, but they always make sure you're taken care of and all this. Well, we just started going table to table and it was like, hey, we want people to have fun in a party and that's it. So when everybody else had eaten, they're like, hey, you guys, you want to eat or whatever? So we went up to the table and it's like, you know, 5 minutes. I'm like, we'll just quickly eat. But it was really good food. It's the Jefferson Hotel. And I'm paying for this. I just want 5 minutes to enjoy the spoon bread and whatever. We sit down and a friend's drunken mom, whatever, came up and was talking to my, and it's my wife's friends. And she's like, blah, blah, blah. And she won't stop or whatever. And she uses my wife's head to stabilize herself from falling and like pulls her veil. And my wife's like, whatever. And I was like, I just slowly turned my back and ate my food for 5 minutes. You're on your own for 5 minutes.
You abandoned her?
I'll take for 5 minutes or whatever. And I told her after my brother came up and finally shushed the lady. My wife goes, I would have done the same thing. I said, it's just one of those. It's your friend. I can't say anything. And I couldn't have saved her anyway.
Right.
You know, because it was like, okay, you're
this
drunk.
This is really, really good spoon bread.
Bread. And hey, you guys, I'm just so happy. If you let me balance by pulling your veil down. Because I just pull your, mess up your hair. My wife,
I told you how good the spoon bread is?
My wife's look, she was like, honey, the food was really good. I wish you had time to eat. Yeah. But hey, it's time to get back out to the dance floor, honey.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.